Drex, what the fuck episode number are we on?
Did someone know? Hold on. Shit.
Is it 30? It might be 36.
Hold on. I need to go on YouTube. I think I put someone's 36 or 37.
Yeah, that was helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, people hit you with that. All right, we are at episode 36.
Fuck you, Koopa.
Because he's just putting numbers. Yeah, this is 36. I see 35 up here.
69. I can't wait for episode 69. Welcome, everyone, to episode 36 of the Big Town Podcast, your only weekly source for boomers and the tech hour here. You fucking boomers. As always, I'm producer Tim. Joining me is Drexel, the mayor of MGTOWN. Say hi.
Hello to everybody.
And we got a guest in today. Welcome the dad of seven into this recording studio. Say hi.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right, definitely. Drexel, all yours. Over to you.
Well, this is a special episode because, as you guys know, I have actually talked about him on Nick's show. And it was a good while back where I told you guys, I said, look, man, I've seen some things. And there's a guy who did everything right, father of seven. And, man, he ended up with, you know, a she-devil using the machinery of the state to make his life not so great and gracious by the hands of God. So he's here to tell his story. As you know, as you guys know, I am very, very strong against marriage in the modern era as it is, because you are going to deal with the dark cloud over your relationship. And that dark cloud is called the state. So he is here, Mr. Minnesota Dad of Seven himself. So Dad of Seven, tell your story, you know, how you guys met. You know, we'll get into, like, you know, the warning signs you may have missed, but just tell your basic story. How did it go about? Go ahead.
All right. So it started off right before the year 2000. I met my ex online. She had posted on Classifieds 2000 because she was living in the outer Twin Cities area. And so that's how it got started. I met her. She was Assembly of God. I was Baptist. She, you know, right away got me into her kind of, you know, going to church and stuff. You know, we were both Christians, both wanted to get married. You know, I think a lot of that is has to do with sex, because, you know, believing that sex, you know, for marriage, you naturally want to get married so you're not sinning. But you know, I believed we were going into this for, you know, like it says, better or worse, till death do you part. So we get married, and then a couple years into it, we try to have kids, and it's not working. So, you know, after a couple years of trying that or whatever, we find out we both have our own issues. We did some IVF, took out a home equity line of credit on the house, and fail after fail. Are you still there? Jex?
Yep.
Okay. Yep, okay. It was just so quiet. I'm sorry. It was just so quiet. Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, it was like the whole, excuse me, up and down of, like, the in vitro, if you know what that is, the roller coaster of medical treatment. And you know, I was always supportive of her, and she wanted to do it again one more time, but, you know, I always tried to be supportive of her. So she was very resourceful. She had heard of somebody who won a in vitro cycle at a family building conference, so she did her research and one was coming to town, and we went to that and prayed going into it. We won, and yeah, so we did the IVF, and they transferred two fresh embryos and froze the other eight. And then we would go back every few years because we believed life begins at conception. So like that's a big reason why we have so many children. Now fast forward to 2019. Our house, our new construction had gotten mold in it, and we were looking to buy a different home in the area. Nothing was, you know, working out, and we decided we'd move cross country because my work would be expanding. So we moved down. Is it okay to, Jack's okay to say it where I moved, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we moved to Texas, and I, you know, just commuted back and forth and would take care of the kids on the weekends. And, well, she was talking divorce on and off through the marriage, believe it or not.
Is that against the rules for religious people, right? Like, that's supposed to be one of the things, right? To death do you
part. Yeah, I mean, you're not divorce. Yeah, you're not supposed to be talking divorce, but she would talk it, you know, here and there. And, like, for one thing, like, I always pretty much tried to make her happy. And, like, I was, you know, give her control, whatever. Like, rarely did I try to, you know, stand up to her because she was really manipulative and, you know, like, abusive, like, the way she would, you know, in conversation, how when women don't get their way. Sorry. Oh man, frick. Sorry. Okay, so yeah. Where was I, Drex? Help me. Hard to say.
Well, you're at the part where you guys move. Well, here's the first question. Yeah. So when it comes to the move, right? Let everybody know. Okay, so you guys are the plan is to move to Texas. And okay, did you have family in Texas?
No, neither one of us had family down in Texas. Okay.
This is why I bring this part of the story up, because you and I, you know, we have quite a history together. And I know that I say things that aren't always, you know, very PC or anything like that. And it was around this time where I was actually warning you. I said, look, man, if you don't have family down there, she doesn't have family down there. I may have made a comment about infidelity. I'm pretty sure I did because I'm me.
Yeah.
And I don't think you took too kindly to that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, here's the thing. It's okay because here's the thing. You were just in a different headspace back then, right? You were in the blue world.
Naive.
And I was fully, you were naive. I'm fully red pill. So from my perspective, Minnesota dad. So from my perspective, someone tells me, yo, Drex, I'm moving to Texas. Oh, damn. Well, I mean, bro, I know you got seven kids. I mean, are your parents down there? No. Grandparents? No. Oh, anyone? No. Okay, well, is her family there? No. My immediate thought went to, wait a minute, this doesn't add up. Because if you don't have family, and she doesn't have family in the same place, but you're moving, you know, over 1,000 miles away.
Right.
Oh, man, this is a bad sign. So can you talk to us about what did she tell you was the reason why she wanted to go down to Texas to live?
Well, we had both always talked about like moving to warmer weather because we really hate the Minnesota winters, how cold it is. Uh-huh. So we're just trying to fulfill the dream of getting to warmer weather, you know? And I actually had another guy at work said, watch, she's going to divorce you in like 6 months. And that is no joke, bro. Okay, so can I go back to the story now?
Go ahead.
All right. So we moved down as family. This was beginning of February. And then, like, I was commuting, working in Minnesota, come down, take care of kids on the weekend. We visited Minnesota in Easter. And I remember, my dad remembers this. My ex was telling him that couples with multiples have a higher rate of divorce. So I was like, right there, she's like preparing him, you know, for what's in her heart. Yeah, she was dead towards me in her heart. She did not love or respect me. And once she discovered country dance, she just like became a different person. She'd always have to go out dancing. You know, we weren't drinkers or anything. But yeah, like she would be getting babysitters when I was at work in Minnesota, and you know, she'd go out and be meeting people, and she even told me she'd get, you know, compliments and like, he sounded beautiful. Like, yeah, told you that. And just, like, she had to hear it from other people apparently. But she talked, dude, this is really screwed up. She talked me into building this nice brand new home with her, and so before that, even we had done like 3 new constructions, you know, at different times. It always with her, pretty much always had to be new. She loved to say, I like to have nice things, but she was only working for a short time in the beginning of our marriage. And then after that, like when we were trying to start a family, like it was pretty much just me. I was always the one, working all the long, long hours, you know, back to back doubles and stuff, overtime, double time. So yeah, she'd say, I like to have nice things. And yeah, off of my back. Anyways, so she does her country dance thing. And in July that summer, she met somebody through a mutual friend. And I happened to hear from the kids. My kids told me that mom had this friend over, this good friend and dance partner. And he has a little baby and he's going through a divorce. And I'm like, oh, really? How do you know that? And they're like, he told us. And I'm like, huh. So I didn't bring it up to her right away. I waited a couple days because I wanted to see if she'd say anything. And, you know, she didn't. And I mentioned it to her. And she said, oh, it wasn't a secret. I just figured you'd hear about it sooner. You know, like, well, yeah, I did. I just didn't let her know that. So, like about a month after she meets the guy, she files divorce. And it was the day before my birthday.
You were served divorce papers a day before your birthday?
No, that's when she filed. Yeah, that's when she filed. She wrecked my credit card for $5,000 for her attorney. Oh. Dude, and then she actually ends up switching to his attorney. Later I find out from that guy's ex that it's the same attorney that he had. So like she and him are using the same attorney. So, wow. Like, so dumb. Like, really? You're gonna use the same attorney as the guy that you're you know. Oh, and like she would have this dude over at my house, like cooking bread pudding in the kitchen, and they'd go to the pool together and Taco Cabana in the Capitol.
Now that begs the question, though, Dad of Seven. If this guy was around, well, obviously you had to be working, right?
Okay. Yeah, I was. She brought him right into. She brought him right into the family. The kids are the one that told me about him, that he was over to the house, and he has this little baby, and he's going through a divorce. And then next thing I know, he's cooking in my kitchen, and they go and doing different things together. So I was like, wow.
How did she describe him to you and to the kids? How did she describe this guy to both you and to the kids?
Well, I don't know that she really described him to me.
Did she say, like, oh, this is just a friend?
Exactly. Yep, he's a good friend. He's a good friend. Yep, that's what her line was, you know. And then I actually got to, when she filed divorce, you know, she still wanted that house, that big brand new home we were building together that I told her we couldn't afford. And back then she said, oh, I'll get a job and I'll make up the difference. Well, she never really did. You know, she never really looked to get a real job. You know, she'll say she did. She did like this, ship job where you go pick some groceries, and I don't think she got tipped, but you know, she never really went to get a real job for make up the difference, like she said. So here I am, she keeps pressuring me like a million times to sign the papers. It's like a no contest, you know, kind of thing. And I with all my heart, I did not want a divorce. you know, I practically begged her like 100 times, like, don't do this, like, don't break up the family. And she'd say, why do you want to be with somebody that doesn't want to be with you? And at the time, like, I could not appreciate it at the time. But, you know, later when I, you know, I got a little more healing and maturity, I was like, yeah, she was right, you know. So she would, like, harass me all the time to sign the papers. But I did not just sign the papers she wanted me to. I ended up getting an attorney. And that was kind of a nightmare because you're, like, half building a kit. You're trying to, you know, provide this evidence that she's, you know, running around with this other guy. And that kind of pointless, too. If I could give any advice to anybody going through what I had to go through, just run to mediation, like, immediately and have, like, someone to represent you. You know, whether, I don't know, my attorney didn't even fight for me to have any dependents. He said she's got good reasons to, you know, for the public assistance for the kids to claim the kids. So that's, you know, something that kind of haunts my paychecks every time the federal, they do not see me as have any dependents. And but the decree says I do a labor job, and yeah, I'm forced to pay her $2,600 a month. And then Corona hit, and then that put me in reverse. They say I owe $12,000 in back pay, but it's more like $5,000 or $6,000. But they say I owe $12,000, and so they bumped up my what they can take out of every 2 weeks to $1,377 a paycheck. And it's like I have no room there to, like, be able to rent a place because I'm an involved father. You know, I have my kids. The decree says I'll have them every other weekend. I offered to have them every weekend, but she said, oh no, because they'll be in school and then they'll be with you on the weekends and I'll never see them. And I said, okay. So I agreed to the every other weekend. Well, then down the road, then she ends up, she's trying to buy days off from me. Like, oh, I'll give you like $86 or something for every weekend day that you take them, you know? And I'm like, it's like $100 because I'm paying you $1,200 every 2 weeks and I'm with them one of the weekends, you know? So, yeah, she's trying to buy time off and, you know, I think she does a good job as far as, you know, being a mother and taking good care of them. But as far as how she treated me, it was just so wrong what she did. Yeah, I could get into more things about how she tried demanding some benefits that were from my job, but I had to put my foot down. I said, no, it's not going to happen. Never again. But dude, when I was married, dude, I was really spineless. Like, I did not stand up to her until, like, a while later. I had to, like, go onto her shelf and the jar was my testicles. I had to take them back, bro.
Well, I have a question for you. So she talks about, you know, you say when you guys met, you know, you were both in the church and
yeah.
One thing that I talk about a lot on this show, in public, at work, you know, I'm always me. And I tell people, man, women don't hold any steadfast beliefs, okay? So what did you see in her behavior that is the polar opposite of everything that she said she was initially? What were the warning signs and red flags, you know, that you see that, like, you know, in hindsight, you kind of see? Do you see any of that?
I mean, she had like a testimony that she got saved and everything, but I never saw her where she wanted to do like the biblical view of, you know, like the God first and the marriage. Like she hated the idea of submission, you know. Ooh, you know, like for the man to be the leader. Yeah, she hated anything to do with me being a leader. You know, she might say she wanted me to be a spiritual leader of the family, but like if I ever did anything spiritual, she would be like, you're a hypocrite. But, you know, and she, you know, she still to this day she calls me abusive. And it's like, no, I she was the one calling me names in front of the children all the time. And I would say, hey, can you at least do it when they're not around? You know? But like, I didn't really.
Then who's she going to look powerful in front of then?
Yeah. You know, that's a manipulation tactic to turn your children against you. I hope you know that, right?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, oh, and when we were, you know, hadn't been married for too long, I remember being over at her parents' house, like in the garage, and her mom was calling her dad an idiot or something like that. I'm like, wow. And I should have took note, like, that was going to be the rest of my life, you know, like, until, you know, but it's like, wow, her and her mom don't get along because they're both big time narcissists. And like, she would call me a narcissist, and I'm like,
yeah, the gaslighting. It's, yeah. Okay, so gaslighting is expected. Now, when you were at this point, right, I want you to think back. Can you describe her behavior toward you when you guys first met? So we know how it was toward the end, but like, because here's the thing. She had to be hidden this kind of behavior, right? I'm assuming she was sweet and submissive and she had to be good because otherwise you wouldn't have met her, right?
Yeah, I mean, when we met, like, it was all right. I mean, she was nice and everything. I don't know. But like, I think one of the things, so I'm the youngest and she's the oldest. So I think she's like, you know, loves that leadership, like take charge kind of role. And I'm like that passive, submissive, you know, like just let her take charge, you know? So I think one thing her mom was like pushing her to get married too, because she was the oldest. Mm-hmm. And like we would talk about it too. So like we got married pretty young, I think, because we were 23.
Wow. What would you tell your 23-year-old self?
What the frick are you thinking?
Hey, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Drex has missed some red flags too. He once got with a girl who left the seat up.
The fad story. Well, I mean, here's the thing. A lot of guys, what ends up happening is, before they are fully red pill, what ends up happening is, deep down, we kind of knew, right? Every guy kind of, you know, you saw these red flags, right? Like every, when she said something, she did something, you kind of went, huh? In the back of your mind, you went, huh?
Oh yeah, it's like she had big time insecurities. Like she forced me one time to confess at a mall that she was the most beautiful woman in the world, and it like took me forever to say it because I hate to lie. Like, you know, like if I'm dying, I have a hard time. But yeah, she like forced me to say she's like the most beautiful woman in the world. Yeah, wow. That was an awkward, uncomfortable moment. You know,
where did that come from?
Yeah, what's that? You get out of that by saying you're the most beautiful woman I know.
You're the most beautiful woman I know.
Yep. And you leave it open for, okay, you're so far.
Yeah, you're right. Well, so Dad of Seven, how did we get to a point where she would even ask that though? Like what triggered that?
I think she watched, you know, me being immature. Cause I remember like, before I even met her, I had a thing for Britney Spears, you know?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and she hated that. And then, like, one time Christina Aguilera got on the TV, and then she saw me being, you know, I was really immature. Like, I was stupid. So she said I was panted like a dog. Like, she took it so personally. Like, decades later, she'll complain about that, you know? Like, that I did, like, this stuff, like... Oh yeah. See, anything that, you know, hurts her self-esteem or whatever, she took to heart, you know. Oh, like when I would work with these, you know, I hate to say this, they were like older, ugly, fat coworkers. Like if I gave one a hug and then she'd be like, that's inappropriate. I'm like, it could be like an aunt. I'm like, it could be like an aunt. She was saying it was inappropriate. But then once she moved down to Texas, she had no problem with going out and dancing with all these guys and holding hands and doing all
this. Of course. Well, let me ask you this. What were the excuses that she made as to why she was going out?
Oh, because she needed to get a break from the kids.
Of course. And so how come the break always involved her getting attention from other men, right? Because like, how come the break could be like her going to a library or even going to get a massage, right? Because like, that would make more sense, right? Like if she said she was going to the chiropractor or the massage therapist, probably a woman, obviously, you would say, okay, that makes logical sense, right? Like, yeah, stressful week with the kids. It would feel good to go get a massage. It makes sense. Did you ever question her as to why the going, you know, the break always had to be going out?
And dude, I was pissed. I was pissed that she was always, you know, like, because it would even be on the weekends when I would come home to take care of the kids and she would just like go off and go out. She'd love, I think I maybe went with her maybe twice, but you know, it didn't go well because she was like trying to back lead me, you know, like the man's supposed to lead the woman, but I wasn't good at dancing. And here she's trying to do it for me, you know. And then, this should be a red flag when she's like eager to have you dance with all her friends, you know, because that wasn't like her before.
Let me show this. I want you to size up the friends, right? Because when you first met her, I'm assuming these people weren't around, and obviously you're in a different location.
Right.
What were her friends like that she was going out with? Can you describe them?
I mean, I remember one of her friends was a girl I went to high school with, you know, sweet and nice. But like, I remember since her divorcing me, like she cut off some people, you know, cause they didn't agree with her. And one was trying to get her to, she was trying to get one to spy on my social media and she wouldn't. And so she cut that friend. This was a long time friend, you know, she cuts her off. So, I can find somebody else or whatever, you know.
Well, so, they view him as a utility. So if the person didn't serve a function in her life,
right.
That was to her bidding. Right. Yeah. She would just delete them. Yep. Narcissism.
But we never got to the house part. So she still has to have the house and she wants to have this guy help her. This guy will help her buy the house. Well, I find out later he couldn't qualify. So I meet this guy and I'm like, so what are your intentions? You know, he just says he's a friend, you know? Yeah. Right. So I'm drilling him. I'm like asking him questions. Like, you know what John 3:16 is? He didn't even know what that verse is. And then my ex was like right away, like, he has received Christ as a savior. Like, like trying to say that he is a Christian. Like he didn't even know like the most basic verse of, you know, Christianity. So
but he claimed to be a Christian, right?
She was claiming for him that he was a Christian.
So because I'm assuming she did this because of course she would have a lot more answers to have ready for you if he was a non-Christian man hanging around the kids, right? You would go, so why are you hanging around this random dude who's not a Christian, who's around the kids? Who is this guy, right? I'm assuming that would be, you know, there'd be more questions.
So she wants to divorce me, and then this guy wants to live in the house I was building. I'd never closed yet. And then he's telling me, yeah, I go hunting and I can, you know, divide up this meat, you know, and he's talking about like providing for my children. It was just like really weird, you know, because here I'm their dad. And fast forward to now. Yeah.
Wanted to divide up the meat. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. There's meat division.
Dude. Hey, they just got married on Valentine's Day of this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So last year, you know, when we were doing our divorce mediation, it seemed like she made it look like they broke up, you know.
Of course.
Yeah. And so like I released my half of the investment in the house. I had $9,300 in the house. And I released my half so she could buy it with her dad, you know, so he co-signs. He was down here helping. Her mom and dad were divorced prior to her filing divorce on me, like by a couple years, I think. Well, those two come together. Her mom and dad came together and came down here and helped her oust me. And like, I remember her involving the police more, like maybe 3 to 4 times. And like none of the times I deserved it. One time she said I was trying to break into her house. And I'm like, no, my kids had to go to the bathroom. And like, there's like that door key you punch in, you know, I was just trying to guess, you know, to get him in there. But like, mm-hmm. she wasn't even home and she was supposed to be home for the exchange, but she's trying to tell me I'm trying to break into her home. I'm like, no, I know that's not, you know, that's your house. I'm not trying to go in there, you know, just trying to let my kids go to the bathroom, you know? So like, then I had to talk to the police that night on the phone, and he's telling me, do not try to be like, whatever. Okay. Yes, sir. You know,
I have a question for you. When she calls the police, police come to, you know, talk to you. How did the police deal with you versus how they dealt with her? Like how did they treat you? How did they talk to you?
Oh, I'll be happy to tell you. So he's like, hey, bud, or, you know, like he said something, make it sound like I'm like, oh, buddy with him or something like that. Like, and then talking down at me, like, you know, I can't be going, trying to get into her house. And the one night I, you know, she was supposed to, it was an exchange. And I had a couple of my kids out on a joyride, you know, because we were doing a car rental. It was after I transferred down, my nephew helped me drive down here. And so we got a rental car to kind of, a nice, you know, muscle kind of rental car to reward him for helping me, you know, drive down here. And we're taking the kids out. So since I didn't get back on time, she takes the ones that were there. She goes to her house. And when I return the two kids, she says, nope, go back to the van. She tells me to the kids to go back. And she says, I'm calling the police. I'm like, really? They just want to go to their beds. They just want to go to bed. So she calls the police. They come out. It was a big ordeal. I wasn't even parked near her house. You know, this was before our mediation that fall. So in 19, but yeah, she involves the police to when it's to her advantage, even though I don't deserve it. You know, like I said, narcissist, you know, manipulative. But yeah, I released that my half of the house. She closed with her dad. He moves back to Minnesota after like the pandemic. I think it was, you know, she loses her job. She moves this guy in. He establishes, he starts living there with my kids, and then they get married the next year on Valentine's Day. So
now, here's what's crazy about your story is that there's a guy on this earth, crazy enough, to marry a woman with seven kids.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't understand. Like, I am their father. They're really awesome, good kids. I love them. They're sweet kids. But still, like, I could not do that. I couldn't just, like, go putting myself willingly into a situation like that. Because, like, that's a lot of... I mean, this is my calling, my mantle. I couldn't imagine some other dude just falling into that, like, being willing... It like makes me wonder, I mean, practically every day. I don't understand this.
He's a homosexual. The guy needs a place to stay, man.
I can figure out why someone would want to get involved with a MILF, and it has to do with an attraction to the kids.
That could be. I don't think so, though.
I've met his ex, not in person, but through like she was trying to rent out a room, and that's how I'm like, hey, I recognized like the name, and I contact her, and then my ex found out that I contact her. My ex was pissed, and she's like, do not, she's like, that person, you know, so is pissed that you did that. And then like later I found out no, that wasn't the case, you know. So like I was in communication with that guy's ex, and he was, and she said like he had, you know, beat her, and like she had called the cops, and he was arrested. And it's like, I don't know the truth, honestly. I don't know, like, if she's telling the truth. I don't know if he's the bad guy. It seems like he would kind of have to be somewhat like how I was, you know, like willing to put up with her crap, because who else is going to be just willing to say, oh, okay. Like, I can't imagine, you know. But
if my ex has been arrested, there is a public record of it. You can get Nick to look it up.
Well, his ex showed me. I've seen the papers, you know. But now, like, he's living with my kids, and, you know, I guess he's good to the kids, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Goddamn, Drex, this sounds like the intro to an HMT video.
It really does.
Dude, this chick is weird. She would send me pictures of herself in her wedding dress and like her ring, and she would like,
oh, she wants the D, man.
She wasn't, you know, like as far as being exciting, no, there was not really any excitement there, if you know what I mean. At least not when I was with her, but yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things that you talked about was the parents, right? And you look at your in-laws, you said they were divorced about roughly 2 years prior to your divorce, things like that.
Yeah, something like that, yep.
Let me ask you this. Can you describe the behavior? You just talked about, you know, her parents.
Yeah.
And these are her grandkids, and yeah, they're like basically they're helping her destroy the family.
Yeah.
And where did that leave your parents in this whole mess?
My parents were cool because like my dad tried to put her in her mom in her place like early on in the marriage when so my ex had talked divorce and she was like unhappy, like when we would, you know, fight verbally, and her mom would try and get into it and encourage my ex to divorce me. And then my dad was like, you need to stay out of it. So he would, you know, try and stand up for, you know, our marriage and just tell her get out, butt out, you know, basically. But like what I saw with their marriage is that the dad was like gone a lot, you know, working in different places. And I think her mom probably liked it that way because her, you know, her mom was the same kind of type, like controlling and not very nice and verbally abusive.
Well, the reason why this is important is because your story has a lot of red flags, right? Like, you know, one of the things I tell guys, all women have an exit plan. So every guy out there who thinks, no, my girl would never, Drex. No, bro. She plots exactly. The divorce at the wedding. So I bet you she was already stashing money away. I'm assuming you guys had a joint bank account, right? Since you were the sole breadwinner.
Yeah, it was actually, I found out when, it was like many weeks later, like she'd always run the finances. And even after she filed divorce, like I still was just like letting her pay all the bills and stuff, you know? And then, and it got to a point where it was so bad because I decided to like take my, you know, I didn't want to be on the account. Well, I tried to divert funds, but what I found out is that it was her bank account and I was only like a user on it, like an authorized user. Yeah. So I had to make my own new like bank account. And then when I, you know, diverted my paycheck to there, that did not sit well with her. But remind you, she's running around with this other dude while I'm in another state. So I had no problem with you know, switching my money over. But I still end up giving her $3,000 a month, and like our attorney even my attorney end up like we pre-settled for a temporary time like that, I'd pay her $3,000, you know. But oh, when she wrote her own thing, she had her own like wish list. It was that she would get $4,500 net every month, plus like cost.
That's unreasonable.
Plus cost of living increases, some stupid stuff, and it still ended up being a high amount because now it's $2,600, and then it went up to, you know, a lot more than that because I'm trying to do the back pay. So right now I'm at $1,377. It can go up to every 2 weeks. And I have a labor job. Like I have to work a lot of hours. What happens if I don't work enough? Am I going to go to jail? Because I'm already in the arrears. They say 12, and I'd say more like 6, you know,
so she could have been getting, assistance and stuff. She could lie on documents. You might have to subpoena, her on that. But one of the things that there's actually a good question that came from Lord of Simpson Cucks about remarriage, because, you know, a lot of people don't know that state to state it is different. And you're paying her, but you said that she remarried. But yes, normally alimony stops the moment you remarry. So
alimony, it wasn't my attorney said, you know, you're not going to pay that alimony because that's like the spousal.
Yeah, spousal support. So maybe you're paying child support then because you have seven kids.
Pure child support is actually, I think, worse because you're not able to write that off as a tax write-off.
Right.
So the government sees me as having no children, and then I pay her 12 to 13, you know, 77 every 2 weeks, and I pay, you know, full taxes like a single guy, and then I'm supposed to provide on her end and then my end. Like, what place? I can't even, what one bedroom am I going to find that they're going to just let me bring seven kids to, you know, on my weekends with them? You know,
yeah, this is the game the state plays. It's something I've told guys about. It's why I brought up your story, because your story has a lot of unique perspectives, and the entrails that were made, which is once a man, in this case that's you, dad of seven, when the man is kicked out of the marital home, but he's forced to pay for her life, the kid's life, and his life. The problem is when he's paying for her life and the kid's life, he doesn't make enough to make, because normally all of that money stays under one roof, which is why you're what they call the marital home. But if a man is kicked out of the marital home, he's basically, it's like paying two mortgages.
Yeah.
You can't pay another, you can't pay for a place to live if simultaneously you're trying to basically take care of a family of eight, right? Seven kids plus the wife. And then and this is the big thing. Like you said, whatever you can afford, how are you going to get seven kids there, right?
Yeah,
because you need another house the size of your own. This is the game they play, the women in the state.
Even when I transferred down, I was homeless and living out of my van, and she'd tell me I had to get a hotel and take them there, and I'm like, hotels don't let you take seven kids to there, you know? And I don't know.
Did she think that way. Did she ever show any amount of care, like any empathy at all? Like, hold on, this is wrong. Let me at least do this.
I don't think she ever really showed any empathy that she did. What she did was wrong. I think one time she said, like she could have done things differently, but I don't know that she's ever really said sorry. And she still tries to minimize saying, you know, like that I twist the story, you know, she'll call it like that. I twist it and the marriage was already over. And I'm like, yeah, cause you decided, you know, like, so she makes it sound like it's okay. Everything she did, because it was already over to her, you know?
Everything in your story is horrible, on so many levels. And you know, one thing about your story that I think a lot of guys can really take note of is no fault divorce, because you know, you talked about the infidelity. There's no use in you going around getting all the evidence that, hey man, look, she was cheating because of no fault divorce.
Exactly.
This is why it's so important, because okay, you said earlier it's best to just go straight to mediation, right? Because the amount of time you're going to spend in all the pretrial hearings, blah 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 blah, and you know, response motion into a motion and all that stuff, you're just spending money and more money and more money.
You waste so much money.
It's a money pit. I don't know if you know this. The divorce game, depending on what stats you look at, is somewhere between $36 and $52 billion per year. Right. Jeez. It is a hustle. It's a source of income for the government. So when I look at your story, like all other men who have been in your situation as married men, it comes down to one thing, and it's something that Coach Greg Adams talks about quite often, which is called the bait and switch. You were deceived, and you have a woman who basically says, hey, Mr. Dad of Seven, yes, I'm a, you know, godly woman. I'm going to stay at home with the kids while you work, the traditional way, right? And then at some point in the marriage, she wanted to go full feminist. I submit to you. I can do what I want. I'm going to go to girls' night out. And the reason why that's so important is that, Dad of Seven, as you went through this whole process, did you see any layer of protection for you, the man, at all? Any layer of protection?
No. And like the whole time. I was just trying to keep from losing the family. I wasn't like trying to look out for myself, but just like trying to keep the family together.
Yeah, see, these women don't actually care about the family. They don't care about the family. They don't care about you. The only thing they care about is themselves and their own narcissistic
selfish needs. It seems like that, yeah. Because she had no problem. Like, the one time she took off the week, we had our plan that she would, we had quite the story, but she was supposed to go back and get our last two embryos, but after she met the guy, she got the divorce bug up her butt so bad that she, obviously didn't do the plan. And then she was like so shocked that I went out. She couldn't get me to take all the kids back to Minnesota that week. I think she wanted to go look for a job. I said, I'll take some of them. She's like, no, it's all or none. And I'm like, fine, none of them. So I went to Hawaii. I went on a little, mini vacation. This was like shortly after she put me through the worst crap of my life, And I don't see any remorse in her. I don't even know how she can call herself Christian. It's just like, it's so shocking because they can, talk divorce through the marriage and you think, it won't happen. No, it will happen. Trust me. It's just a matter of how and when. Like, they're just waiting for the right opportune time. Who are they going to meet? Because she even recently said how, like, he was this guy that she met was going to help her by the house. So she calls it so she doesn't have to lose the house. They like to make it sound all like just and everything for the kids. So she didn't have to lose the house.
Of course. And yeah. You talked about something in your story, which is something that doesn't get talked about enough. You mentioned the attorneys. And did you ever get this feeling that like, as you're paying your attorney, you're looking at this attorney, doesn't matter if it's male or female. You're like, I mean, are you on my side?
Exactly. I was like, yeah, he tries to tell me, he's like, yeah, I you're going to come better off though. Like 5 years down the road, I've seen it. So I feel like he had a soft spot for her because he was trying to tell me like how she has like all these good reasons to have all the children for the dependents, to claim for the taxes for the government or whatever, the assistant program. So he didn't even want to do any fighting for me in that arena.
And Shout out to Ty Beard. Your situation has so many problems because see what ends up happening is I hear your story and it's like by being traditional, by being godly in a post-traditional godless world that we live in, something that I talk about quite often. I get a lot of criticism for speaking on the way of the world is now, right? Like people are like, don't say that, Drex. And see, everyone likes to talk about the way things should be, right? The Bible says that. I don't care about the Bible. And here's the reason why. Let me ask you, Data 7. Did the Bible help you as she was just doing everything she wanted to do with the state, calling the cops on you, lawyers? See, nothing's going to help you, right? Well, now, you can have your faith, right? But faith alone won't take away child support. Faith alone won't stop her from being, an infidel. Faith alone won't keep get you back in your house, right? That you paid
for. The devil still can have his way with you, I don't know.
I appreciate your faith. What I'm trying to get across to people, though, is that living a traditional way in a traditional mindset in this current society, right, in this Western culture, where everything is against the man, it isn't smart. Because and that begs the question to segue into something that's very important. What have your, especially your boys, what have you taught your boys, and what have you been telling them through this whole process? Like, because I'm sure they see things. You know how degenerate the world is. I don't have to tell you. There's porn everywhere. There's twerking. There's the rainbow agenda everywhere you look. It's just degeneracy, right? What do you tell your sons?
I don't know why, but my one 4-year-old is like talking everything like rainbow this and rainbow that, and I don't know if it's related to, you know, the whole gay thing or.
Well, I don't know. School. The school. I'm assuming your kids are in public school, and if they are, that's just a feminist indoctrination camp.
Yeah, it's a Montessori school. But like my oldest, my oldest boys are 10, and I don't know. I haven't really talked a whole lot about, you know, the whole porn stuff. You know,
have they asked you anything about being married, like getting married or anything like that? Have they ever talked about it?
No, I think when they're old enough, I'm gonna have to have the what did you call it? Red pill talk.
Yeah.
Like guys, the laws aren't in your favor, because like you're the one that taught me that 85%, 90% of the time, the woman gets the children and then the child support.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's so rare. I mean, you'll hear times when the guy will say, "Yeah, I got my kids," and it's like, but that's not the rule. That's usually the exception, you know.
Absolutely.
Because, like,
it's scary how rare it happens, to be honest with you.
I mean, I can't, like, fight to have the kids when I have to be working, nor I didn't go into let's have kids so I can single parents having kids, you know, like,
right.
No, I'm just fortunate to be able to function on my own, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, to do my own. I mean, she ran everything. Like, that was where I was stupid. I let her be like the admin of everything, you know. I let her pay the bills, I let her do everything, I let her take charge. I just, you know, went to work, earned the paycheck, took home I would take care of the kids, you know. I had either the work life or the with the children life. I didn't like have my own friends, you know. I was always faithful to her. I never cheated on her, never, you know, going talking to ladies, you know.
Oh yeah, and where'd that get you?
Yeah, right.
It got me paying high child support to have some other man live in the house I was building for my kids.
Let's wrap this up, Drex.
It's unreal. Yeah, your story is something that's very important for guys to hear. And what would be your lesson that you'd want guys to know out there who are listening to this? Like, what lesson would you want them to learn?
The marriage will only last as long as she decides. If she's not happy, she can leave you anytime with anyone, and the law won't give a crap about it. You know, she will get rewarded if she has children, and like she'll get all her stimulus. She'll get every break under the sun, and you'll still be expected to pay your child support and also pay for them when they're with you. You'll have to figure out how to help that world and help your own world. I don't know. It's just really a screwed up situation.
Oh, she'll get her stimulus, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It ain't from the government.
Yeah, she. Yeah, we know someone's stimulating her.
Yeah.
at least it's not me.
Oh. Goodness. But yeah, we thank you for coming on and telling your story, because like I said, we definitely want to help you, and we definitely want to reach out to all of our friends and, you know, we'll set up a GoFundMe, because your story, like there are a lot of guys out there, and a lot of people I don't know if you know this, but a lot of the people who go through what you're going through and you're trying to survive through, they end up deleting themselves, right? The highest rate of suicide in our country middle-aged white man who's recently divorced. That's the highest rate.
Of his transgenders.
Yep. And the trans people. So yeah, I want to ask you that. What about your mental state after going through all this? Did you go to a darker place that you didn't know you had or anything like that?
I had the worst part of my life. It was the 2 summers ago. You know, I said, I would ask her, I said, "Are you kissing face with somebody?" And then she just wouldn't answer me, you know. I think that was that summer. I remember she had told me when I was with her, she goes, because she wouldn't even let me, like, cuddle, you know. And she would tell me, "What you got to do is you download this app, this Bumble, and then you," she says she doesn't remember saying this, but she said, "You accidentally swipe over to the dating side of it." So, yeah.
Wow.
But to answer your question, I was like at the lowest place of my life, though, you know, when she, like, you know, not only abandoned me when she stabbed me in the back, you know, like, so to speak. And I just, like, wanted to, you know, disappear, like you said, you know. I remember not wanting to go on online at all. Like, I just go into my room. I was probably just crying and crying, you know, for the next, I don't know how many months. Like, no one's ever hurt me like that before, you know. And I have a really hard time trusting women now. It's just like, well, how do you trust someone if you can't trust the person that you were married to, that you're building your life together? You know, you think you're building a family, and then it all gets taken away from you because she decides to. You know, so it was really, really hard for a very long time, and that corona year didn't help because, you know, everything was about isolation, and I lived alone for the first time of my life. And yeah, you know, what kept me going is that, like, I don't want to disappoint my parents, and I don't want to disappoint my children, because I remember I had a cousin who committed suicide, and it really hurt his dad, my uncle.
Wait, was that after a divorce, I'm assuming?
My cousin, it wasn't related to anything. He wasn't married or anything, you know, but I just remember just, like, thinking the thoughts, like, I'm not going to disappoint my parents, and I'm not going to disappoint my kids, you know, like, I think that just, like, kept me going, you know.
Wow. Well, yeah, thanks for telling your story. Oh, go ahead. You want to say something else?
Yeah, I mean, I had other people that would, you know, say, oh, yeah, I would just go jump off a bridge, you know, like, they would tell me that.
you know, I mean, not to get too dark or anything.
Right? We end on the brightest notes here in the Big Town podcast.
dude, but hey, life is going to get better, man. I have changed so much. Like, I'm able to be, like, my own person, you know, and I can say pretty much, screw you. You know, I can't say that, but I can basically, you know, like, now I can hold my own ground, and I feel a lot better about myself. And I feel like, yeah, after I get through these crappy few years, I do think things will get better. I just don't know how and when they're ever going to get better. Like, I like to keep optimistic, though, and, like, stay hopeful for the future, but I don't know.
Yeah, they always do eventually. They always do. I've never been at the lowest point, but it does eventually get better.
But it really hurts. The part that really hurts is that, like, I'm such a loving father, as far as, like, I'm very, you know, affectionate with my kids, and I love them so much. And now I don't get to be with them on, like, the home front, you know, like, the day in and day out, like, you know, wake up, go to bed, you know, tuck them into bed, or, you know, it's just like, I just don't understand. It's hard to comprehend, you know, because I just never envisioned life being this way. And now I gotta figure out what now, you know, like, I don't know. Everything's just like a question mark,
you know? Yeah, it's the reality that a lot of men have to face, which is the world is against you. Make no mistake. The courts are against you. The media is against you. The woman is against you. Even your own family is against you. And what I want guys to understand is that the strength comes from within. You have to overcome this shit. You see what I'm saying? Right. And as you do, as you fight, the only way to overcome it is to fight, right? It doesn't matter if you're Vic Mignogna, you get Me Too'd. Because where you're coming from right now, there are guys out there, and you elaborate on this in your own story, where she can call the cops at any time, just make up any story, right?
Right.
Oh my God, you did this. There are guys out there who are currently in prison because a woman just said they did something. No evidence, no proof, no nothing. So just say, you know, keep fighting. Like I said, we're going to do what we can to help you out. And we appreciate you coming on. And Tim, you want to take us on out? We appreciate you, Mr. Dad 7.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. And, you know, thanks for hearing my story.
Absolutely.
We'll get you back in for an update in a little bit there, because we want to keep an eye on you, see what's going on. Make sure you don't put on a hockey mask.
No, we'll edit that part out. But yeah, thanks again for coming on, Dad. Okay. 7. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. That wraps up for this week's episode. We will see you again next week. I think we're going to have Cress on next week.
Absolutely.
We'll
get Cress.
That's been a request for a long time.
Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to her.
Yeah, this month's bonus episode is going to be with RGE. So I'll figure out when we can record that one. But I feel like I kind of cock-blocked you a little bit there. I cut your story. I cut your friendship time with RGE short. But don't worry, bonus episodes don't have time limits, so
it's all good.
Yeah. Oh, there's, man, the Golden Eagle episode was popular. Everyone loved it.
Oh yeah, man, he's great. I always love talking to Eagle. I'll have to reach out to Yellow Flash and get him on two. And Tug, I love those guys. And
you keep adding to the list because you still owe me Tybeard. You still owe me Duke and Ghetto Gaggers.
Right? We got a growing guest list there, and the VIP list that everyone wants to get on. It's really getting crazy in these streets, man. I mean, people are starting to realize, Tim, it's bad. You get married now, all these guys, my unicorn. Go ahead and try and see what happens. Yeah. See what happens if you go ahead and try the, I'm going to go the traditionalist route. At any time, she can pull the rug from under you. Yeah, these guys better wake up, man.
Like I said, that's it for this week. You guys know where to find us. You know how to support us. Drex, we're coming up on the fall here. It's going to be 1 year anniversary of the show before you know it.
I know, right? Time keeps flying.
It does. We're already on episode 36, man.
It's craziness.
You know, we have, 16 more episodes until the 1 year anniversary.
Nice. I love it.
Damn.
Stay woke.
Stay woke. That's our new sign-off. Stay woke, every pony. No. My tried, tested, and true sign-off is stay frosty, everyone.
Peace out.